and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Malagato. New information has surfaced suggesting all is not what it seemed to be. What did they know and when did they know it as Katrina was bearing down on the Gulf Coast? After the devastation hit New Orleans, the levees spilling billions of gallons of water into the city, President Bush made clear his administration was blindsided.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
But now government video obtained by the Associated Press has surfaced of an administration briefing the day before Katrina struck. Max Mayfield is the director of the National Hurricane Center.
I don't think anyone can tell you with any confidence right now whether the levees will be topped or not. But that's obviously a very, very grave concern.
Also at the briefing, former FEMA director Michael Brown.
My gut tells me, I told you guys, my gut was that this is a bad one and a big one. And you heard Max's comments. I still feel that way today.
The gist of the information at the briefing was the levees were of great concern. And Brown feared the worst, in spite of what the administration maintained in the days following. President Bush's overseas trip to India and Pakistan did begin on a high note because it did not begin in India, but with an unannounced trip to Afghanistan, where Mr. Bush said Americans are helping the country not only survive but flourish. In addressing troops, he repeated the promise the U.S. will capture or kill Osama bin Laden.
I assure you that this government of yours will not blink, we will not yield, we're on the right course, and the world is going to be a better place because of your service.
Then it was on to India, where tens of thousands are not rolling out the welcome mat, tens of thousands chanting death to Bush in central New Delhi, and a former prime minister getting roars of approval, declaring the message from the people of India is, George Bush, go home. Tough to miss Catholics this afternoon. They're the ones with the smudge on the forehead, this being Ash Wednesday, the beginning of a period of repentance. And WWL reporter Dave Cohen says nowhere is the contrast greater than in New Orleans.
Bells at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans French Quarter ring out, calling parishioners to get ashes placed on their foreheads. Many of the faithful who yesterday lined a parade route for Fat Tuesday now parade into church.
We just went through Mardi Gras, which was, you know, enjoyment of life and spirit expression, and now it's time of reverence and repentance.
The somber mood of reflection is in stark contrast to the revelry of Mardi Gras. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Nice rebound in stocks today after yesterday's sharp drop. The Commerce Department says all the money you and I spent in January, personal spending, shot up nearly a full percentage point, the biggest gain in 6 months. And maybe some justification in the report that incomes rose by 0.7%. So in the big picture, at least, we could almost afford it. Investors like news like this. Dow gained 60 points. The Nasdaq was up 33. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar, sorry, this is Nikia.
My son has locked himself in our vehicle.
Oh, how old is he?
He's 3.
Oh.
I know.
I'd like to verify your PIN number. Do you remember what that could be?
757.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
I'm going to set out the unlock for you. Okay. I'll call you back to let you know that the door should be unlocked.
Thank you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
The doors of the vehicle are unlocked.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Can you put me on hold and verify it for me?
I can verify it because my 3-year-old just ran up to me. You want to tell her thank you for unlocking your door?
Thank you for unlocking my door.
Oh, you're welcome.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com.
They have 2 years to get it right. The Chinese, manners, like no spitting, no shoving, no yelling. 2 years, says reporter Celia Hatton, before the Beijing Olympics.
TV commercial warning Beijingers to stop spitting on the street is about to get a lot of play. It's part of a citywide campaign to spruce up residents' manners ahead of the 2008 Olympics. Millions will also receive a book on proper etiquette, and so-called civilization supervisors will work to stop people pushing and shoving on public transport. Officials hope the campaign will be such a success, Miss Manners herself will be able to pick up a few tips in Beijing come 2008. Celia Hutton, CBS News, Beijing.
Win in Rome. How about win in New York, Chicago, L.A.? A new report out today says the longer Hispanic immigrants remain in the U.S., the more likely they are to become obese, to develop diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. And worse yet, Hispanics born in the U.S. have even higher rates of those illnesses. Lou Milliano, CBS News.
I love sledding, but I'm so cold.
Let's go to my house for Ovaltine Hot.
All right, Ovaltine Hot, come on!
The kids will be back soon. Let's make them rich chocolate Ovaltine hot.
Great idea.
Dave's mom's making
creamy, chocolatey Ovaltine hot.
Yeah!
Oh, Ovaltine's made with milk.
Yeah, so Ovaltine tastes creamy.
And it's full of vitamins and minerals. Swiss Miss and Nestle Hot Cocoa aren't.
Mom, we're here.
Who wants Ovaltine hot?
Me!
Let's make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Get the good stuff.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip, driver of the number 55 Napa race car. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm quite a hat collector. That's why Napa is helping me collect as many hats as I can, starting with yours. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store and swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. The same hat me and my race team wear at the track. Bring in your old hat today and drive home looking like a winner. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Ah, yes, but will he be laughing when it's all over? Good afternoon, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We present 3 hours of progressive talk, live, unrehearsed, unscripted. We don't know exactly what's going to happen between now and 6 o'clock. So stay tuned, and you can find out for yourself. Coming up next hour, we open up the phones to talk with you. Are you ready for a stiff increase in the gasoline tax as a way to reduce consumption and pry people away from their Hummer habit? I want to ask you about that. At 4:30 today, we'll be joined by cartoonist, columnist, and Ann Coulter target, Ted Rall. He's thinking about suing her for libel. Would you like to contribute to his defense fund? Also on the program today, our weekly visit with Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor and investigative reporter at rawstory.com. She recently caught up with arch-conservative Michael Ledeen. She'll share some interesting tidbits from that interview and other issues, too, coming up in our 5 o'clock hour. And lots of room for your calls in the free speech zone. Whenever you'd like to talk with us, whether there's a guest on the program or not, you are welcome to participate. It is, after all, a live two-way talk show, and that means we take your calls. 831-899-5792 is the number for the Central Coast. That's 831-899-KRXA. And if you're listening in Eureka or on those little speakers in your computer, you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And like I say, you are welcome to participate whenever the urge strikes you and as long as the First Amendment is still in full effect. Jason Leopold is the investigative reporter who publishes at truthout.org and also is seen at rawstory.com on occasion. And he returns to our program today. Hello, Jason.
Hi there, Peter. How are you?
I'm great today. And you are a very busy man. You are perhaps the most frequent poster of news and commentary articles at Truthout. Is that fair to say?
I would say that's a fair assessment. I mean, I would actually, you know, go further and say that, you know, if the administration could, you know, stop, Bush administration could stop, you know, possibly with their scandalous behavior, I wouldn't be so busy.
Right, but you post three or four articles a week, don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, my background, I have a wire service background, so mm-hmm. I used to work for Dow Jones, which is where I cut my teeth on the California energy crisis.
And I want to talk about that in the Enron trial a little bit later in the hour.
But I'm pretty good at turning things around, you know, quickly. And the thing is that in some, you know, in with regard to some of these issues that are out there right now, you know, there is, you know, new developments every day. So it's keeping me busy.
Well, I did a little search of Truth Out in my massive preparation for our conversation today, Jason. And 565 results came up linked to your name at Truth Out alone.
Yeah. I'm good. Put it this way. I don't sleep that much, and I drink lots of coffee.
Okay. Well, let's dive into it here in a post today at Truth Out. The headline is, Details Emerge in Latest Plame Emails. Now, we know from a previous report of yours that Patrick Fitzgerald sent a gentle letter to the White House about a month ago saying, guys, you know, you didn't cough up all those emails, and we're missing at least 250 of them.
Right.
Well, now we know that emails, you can delete them from your desktop and think that you're safe. But emails actually never do disappear, do they, Jason?
No, you know, and that's the thing. Once you write an email, and you think that you delete it, even just from your inbox, it's, you know, the forensics. You know, there are forensic computer experts who could actually find it in, you know, in the computer's hard drive, and you know, it's almost like a science. And you know, I don't know. I'm actually just learning about that, how that actually works. So mm-hmm. this is quite new for me as well, because you know, there are allegations that these emails, two things, were either were not turned over to mm-hmm. Alberto Gonzalez back in October 2003, and were deleted. Now you got to remember, this is October 2003 is more than 3 years ago when they were supposed to turn over all documents, emails, any electronic communication that made any reference to Valerie Plame, Joseph Wilson, and some reporters. So that 3.5 years later, you know, we're suddenly learning about that, and the White House's line is, we just discovered it. And Fitzgerald has, from what I understand, has confiscated some computers and has been, you know, from the vice president's office,
mm-hmm.
and has been he found it through that, or his staff found it through that, as well as, you know, speaking to numerous witnesses. So
and once he got past the quail shooting software game, what do we know? I realize that you're working through confidential sources, and that this information is being presented by Fitzgerald in dribs and drabs to the grand jury.
Sure. Well,
you been able to glean?
Okay. Well, let me also just make a little comment on the confidential sources. I want you know, people, obviously, there's, you know, I have pressed my sources to go on the record. Now, these are people whose names would meet with the Bush administration. And what they see, you know, that their views have, you know, have changed in the past 3 or 4 years.
Now, let me just inquire here, using a Watergate parallel. Have you found the Martha Mitchell of this era?
Let's see. I would say that there's actually more than one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what the actual moment was, everything that's going on involving this. So it's with this actual case. So, you know, the funny thing is that there's a number of people that, you know, that names have been printed who were, you know, that either mentioned an indictment. I simply, you know, I'm going to give away a little secret here. I simply used 411 and called some of these individuals. And you'd be surprised that many of them are listed,
mm-hmm.
and sweet talk the hell out of them. So,
what about timing? Do you call before the telemarketing barrage at dinner or after?
You know, that's a great question. The best time to call is at dinner.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're going to get them. and by the way, I'm you know, back in my college days, that's what I was doing.
And do you offer them a discount on satellite TV?
and you know, I don't offer to sell them anything, but you know, it's a long process,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a lot of people these days, rightfully so, are skeptical of anonymous sources, but. You know, the details that I've gotten from various people who don't know each other absolutely match. So what's happening? You know, what seems to be happening with this case right now with the Plame investigation is, yes, it's going very slowly, And Fitzgerald and his staff are very methodical in, you know, in their investigation. But it's moving into different areas. It's moving into, from what I understand, the National Security Council and the State Department. It's not just, you know, before Libby's indictment, it was a matter of, you know, two individuals, Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, and those were the only people that people expected to, you know, at least be indicted. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they think that Karl Rove is not, you know, there's nothing that has happened since with Karl Rove, then therefore the investigation is, you know, kaput. But that's not the case. I mean, this is a very, very, this is like a web here of many different areas and many different agencies that were involved in first the campaign to discredit Joseph Wilson, Valerie mm-hmm. Plame's husband, and then how that actually, you know, led to the disclosure of her undercover CIA status. So it's very, you know, there's a lot of things happening, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of different areas that the special prosecutor is now checking out. And I was actually told that the reason the indictment against Libby came down when it did was because, you know, time was running out.
Mm-hmm. That last grand jury.
Yeah,
Jason, we got to take a break,
sure.
So we'll regroup and pick up there as we continue. Our guest is investigative reporter Jason Leopold. Read his work, including the most recent dispatch today, posted at truthout.org. And if you have a question or comment about Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson, the smearing of the former ambassador by the White House, and the leak that occurred, I'd love to hear from you. You get on the line right now at 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll free from elsewhere at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I don't remember a doggone thing.
Oh, amnesia's rampant at the White House. Karl Rove couldn't remember what he forgot to tell the grand jury. Had to make four trips in to see him. And then there were 250 emails missing, and some bitch, Pat Fitzgerald's boys, found them on the hard drives. And amnesia is a problem because as we look at this, Jason Leopold, one of the real vulnerabilities, legal vulnerabilities faced by Dick Cheney and those who have yet to be indicted in the White House Iraq group, the vice president's office, others who may have been linked to the smearing of Joe Wilson, including Ambassador John Bolton at the United Nations. What we have is a case where they've tried the limited hangout route, again referencing Watergate, and what they're vulnerable to is being dishonest, not being forthcoming or giving straight testimony to the various investigators whom they have talked with since this investigation started in the summer of 2003.
I think that's absolutely that's absolutely correct. I mean, this White House and these officials, Cheney, Scooter Libby, Karl Rove, that they have all demonstrated that they have been dishonest. They have a credibility problem, and I think that people do, really need to look at that. I mean, there was a point in time where I was where I have to tell you, as I was reporting this story, you know, I was thinking, I said, this just does not seem possible. How could these officials, these very public figures, you know, the president of the United States, the vice president of the United States, you know, not be forthcoming with investigators, with federal investigators. But I have to tell you that as I keep digging and as I keep talking to, you know, people who are familiar with it, that seems to be the case. And
but isn't this a case of absolute power corrupting absolutely, that with one-party rule, they were so smug and arrogant as to believe that they could do anything and never be held accountable? The NSA spying gambit is an example.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what's happening now. These are individuals who believe that they call the shots, that they are above the law. And they absolutely believe that. And it's very interesting. In the Scooter Libby indictment, which is, in the one of the most recent court filings in the Scooter Libby case, which is presenting the defense, what his defense will be, his attorneys are actually saying that, you know, Scooter Libby was basically focusing on other pressing matters, such as terrorist threats. And they have driven home the fact that, you know, terrorism. Again, using that. This administration has used the so-called terrorist threat to skirt the law and justify what they're doing.
Now, Jason, let's take a minute here, a little side trip into the Libby defense strategy, because it has gotten interesting. The signals they're sending are that they plan to subpoena every reporter they can and try to turn this into another showdown of the First Amendment a la Judith Miller.
Sure.
And secondly, that they want to have discovery, or they're demanding discovery, that they know is not possible. They want presidential daily briefs simply to establish the point you just made, that Scooter Libby was a very busy man.
Right.
Well,
right.
They don't need confidential or top secret documents to establish that, but they are casting their nets very wide, and the term gray mail has been used to describe the strategy of the Libby attorneys. Explain.
Gray mail is a term that's used at when you ask for extremely sensitive documents that are classified or may pose a threat to national security. If it's revealed at a trial, basically your trial falls apart. It doesn't go forward because you cannot prosecute, or you take a risk of the person that's being charged with revealing national secrets. So this is all a stall tactic, in my opinion, and. They are going to interview or are trying to subpoena reporters. But what's even more interesting, and this is in the filing that Libby's attorneys had presented to the judge on Thursday, this past Thursday, is that they actually, in this defense motion, they actually have spoken to, cognitive behavioral and memory loss experts. And it sounds funny, but they are actually going to present psychologists and doctors who will say that when people are focusing on matters of like that are of such urgency or an emergency, that they generally will forget other things.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really, going the distance and saying he just forgot. In fact, what's another element that's interesting in this filing is that his attorneys actually say we don't discount the fact that he did speak to reporters and he did reveal this information. We're simply establishing that he forgot about it because there were other pressing matters. So they're really going to say, hey, this country was under a threat of terrorism.
And it seems more apparent to me, Jason, that what he forgot was the difference between the truth and his cover story, and he's trying to backtrack to cover that now.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he's doing. And what's sort of comical about it, and I'm amazed that his attorneys are getting paid as much as they are because it seems like such a shoddy defense. But there are reporters. There are the reporters that they're going to subpoena are the same ones who testified before a grand jury saying, "I never said that.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got that information." So,
just to be clear to listeners, the cover story I'm referring to is that Libby said that he had learned about Wilson's identity from reporters, when in fact we now know he learned about it from Vice President Cheney. We'll pick up there as we continue in a moment with investigative reporter Jason Leopold. Read his stories. Just to be clear to listeners, the cover story I'm referring to is that Libby said that he had learned about Wilson's identity from reporters, when in fact we now know he learned about it from Vice President Cheney. We'll pick up there as we continue in a moment with investigative reporter Jason Leopold. Read his stories at truthout.org. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wits to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice. Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filing.
37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from ThinkerToys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles...
Attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Pacific Grove. Sorry, Freedom. Take the day off. We're also live on KGOE, the mighty 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, and on a good day, Crescent City can hear us. My lines are open for you. We'll go to the phone shortly at 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. We continue with investigative journalist Jason Leopold. And again, he writes frequently. He is prolific, as they say, at truthout.org. Jason, I got a long-winded layout for you, and then I'd like your reaction, please.
Sure.
Connecting some dots in the direction of Dick Cheney and his, in my view, direct responsibility for the smearing of Joe Wilson. Number one, in the softball interview with Britt Hume that followed the shooting incident in Texas, Cheney gratuitously tagged on a comment that an executive order issued in March 2003 extended from the president to the vice president for the first time in my knowledge, the authorization to classify or declassify secret documents in the United States government. In the piece that you posted at Truth Out today, you make a reference to these emails that have recently been unearthed from the hard drives that are said to implicate Cheney in a months-long effort to discredit Wilson, going back to March of 2003, about the same time that Cheney claims this executive order authorized him to make changes in classified materials.
Yeah.
And now, again referring to the strategies of the Scooter Libby defense team, they have said that he leaked on instructions from the vice president.
Right.
So are they building a case, not unlike the NSA case, that the vice president was authorized by the Constitution and by the authorization following 9/11 to conduct these efforts because they were, in his skewed view, a response to the attack on our nation on 9/11?
Yeah, that's actually a good job of connecting the dots. And yes, that's exactly what his defense team is building toward. They are saying that, you know, Scooter Libby, behind the scenes, what they're actually going to, you know, what they've been saying is that, you know, Scooter Libby was a loyal official and close confidant of the vice president, and basically did what the vice president told him to. Now, there's a bit of ambiguity on whether or not the vice president has the authority to, you know, declassify documents such as the National Intelligence Estimate, not unlike the, you know, interpretation that Alberto Gonzalez and President Bush have discussed regarding the NSA spying. Mm-hmm. They're basically, you know, saying, hey, you know, hey, I got this, I have this authority, I'm Dick Cheney. But they are absolutely working toward not just a faulty memory defense, but that they're actually entitled to, in just regard to Joe Wilson, they're entitled to rebut his the allegations and what they called, you know, destructive comments that the ambassador had been making publicly in media appearances and in stories that were written. And they're actually saying, you know, we have the right to do this. We have the right to do this, and the vice president has the right to tell me to, I can leak this information to a reporter to show that this individual is not, it has no credibility. Excuse me. So that is, again, that is a type of strategy that I don't think is going to fly, because it all comes down to this. He's being charged with perjury, obstruction of justice, and lying to investigators.
Mm-hmm.
He is not being charged with the leak. He's being charged with perjury, with
lying.
And
I don't believe he's been charged with being too busy either.
Excuse me?
He hasn't been charged with being too busy.
No. In fact, you know, the special prosecutor said, of course he's busy. I will give him that, that he's a busy man. We're not trying to take that away from him. This case is about lying and obstruction of justice, and that's what he's being charged for. But, again, this is also a public relations strategy. You know, turn this around and make it that, well, she wasn't, her status was not covert. She was not, you know, her employment with the CIA was not classified. Again, you're being charged with perjury, Mr. Libby. You're you know, we've gone well beyond, you know, the fact that a crime may have been committed by leaking her identity. Now, that may, you know, there's still other individuals in the administration that still may be, you know, charged with that. However, very early on in his investigation, Patrick Fitzgerald already was under the impression that he, you know, people were not being forthcoming and telling the truth. And he had written to the acting attorney general at the time, James Comey. I think I'm pronouncing his last name correct.
I think you're right.
Correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And to basically make sure that Fitzgerald, in writing, wanted to know that that during the course of this investigation, if he had the right to prosecute people for, you know, perjury, evidence destruction, and other similar, you know,
right,
things related to it. So, again, this is, you know, people seem to, the more that Libby's attorneys seem to, you know, go out there and present this, again, people just, it's sure, you know, you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
And even if the vice president had the authority to do this, you still lied.
We're talking with Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's take some calls. Jake in Arcata, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Jason. How's it going?
Hi there. How are you, Jake?
Hey, Jason, I'd like to commend you on the good work you've been doing at truthout.org on this NSA spying scandal. And my big question for you is that I know Bush has been saying that he authorized the domestic spying in 2002, but you came up with some documents that showed, in fact, he authorized this prior to 9/11. Could you tell the listeners some more about that, why Bush is lying and why we know that he was spying domestically before 9/11?
Sure. Well, thanks for the question, Jake. And that's basically a story I had written a couple of weeks ago about the NSA had sent the incoming administration, the Bush administration, a very lengthy report saying that it would begin conducting, you know, these, what, you know, what they call, they were basically, they were catching people's, Americans' emails and telephone calls in the course of their, you know, spying, I guess you could say. I'm trying to figure out the right way to
monitoring.
Monitoring. Thank
yes.
you.
My personal monitor, we've named Benny over at the NSA. And we talk to him every now and then. Benny. Oh, see, you just made a little technical noise. Go ahead,
well,
Jason.
Well, thanks for that. And basically, you know, there was some documents that were issued to the president, and, you know, saying that we just want to make you aware. And this is actually posted online, and it's you know, just if you just type in NSA report 2001, it will actually, you know, give some great detail on the fact that this has been going on for you know, for months before 9/11. And in fact, going further, I'd spoken to some you know, some of the same people who work at the CIA that you know, I've been speaking to regarding this you know, the plane case. You know, it put me in touch with some other folks at the NSA who no longer work there, but it actually been saying that, you know, Cheney was Dick Cheney, again, his name comes up a lot, but he was in charge of counterterrorism. And there's some documents, again, online that show that part of that, you know, counterterrorism strategy involved, you know, the possibility of, you know, spying on Americans, but not in a way that would have... it basically would have wound up just that, you know, people's emails would get caught up in the domestic spying agenda. But what happened was is that when that takes place, you're supposed to immediately, or the NSA is supposed to immediately stop what it's doing when it knows that it has a U.S. citizen in its crosshairs. But Bush and Cheney had both said that, keep going, keep doing it. And there's actually documents that are out there, which, for the life of me, I don't understand why, you know, more people have, journalists rather, have, you know, written about it, that shows that between February and August, that this was, you know, that this was actually taking place.
Mm-hmm. Jake, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I do. I would just like to say that considering how unconcerned the Bush administration was with terrorism prior to 9/11, all I have to do is just listen to people like Richard Clark tell us that. I'm kind of curious, why do we take Bush at his word that this domestic spying is being done to stop terrorism if he was doing it prior to 9/11? It seems to me this is probably being done against his political opponents.
Yeah, and, you know, that's funny because in February of 2001, former CIA director George Tenet had actually given Congress a congressional hearing in which he said that the single greatest threat is to this country Osama bin Laden. In fact, after that hearing, there was an article in the New York Times which I had written about that the Bush administration had, and it was George Bush, the Vice President and the Joint Chiefs of Staff had met to discuss Iraq. That article was published in February of 2001. And in terms of, you know, why we should take them at their word, I think that, you know, given the fact that today Alberto Gonzalez sent a, you know, what he calls a clarification letter to the Senate regarding his hearing in which he testified about the NSA spying, I think that demonstrates that we can't take them for, you know, at their word, because this letter actually says that you know, there may be a little more to this than we've disclosed.
Jake, thank you for the call. And on that very note, Jason, I want to reference Russell Tice, who spoke up in Washington last week only to say that it's top secret, he can't really say much more. But what he suggested in his testimony is that there is a program in addition to the NSA program that we know a little bit about,
right,
that concerns him a whole lot more.
Right.
And when you put that together with this catch-up letter from Gonzalez, then there's a whole lot out there, the unknown unknowns, as Donald Rumsfeld would say.
Exactly. The you know, many unknowns. Exactly. And the, you know, like I said earlier, the administration does not have any credibility. And, you know, we have to be skeptical of anything they say. And it's, you know, in my opinion, it's quite unfortunate. But it's, you know, there is so much, I believe, that is probably, you know, whatever we know thus far, you know, you can bet there's probably a lot more to it, and a lot more information, and probably, you know, a lot more, you know, surveillance that's taking place. I mean, we all know, you know, the FBI, yeah, actually.
Jason, I'm sorry, I'll stop you there. We'll pick up in just a moment after the break. Jason Leopold, who writes for truthout.org, our guest this hour. You can call me at 899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540. They call me Peter B. Collins.
Wake up, everybody, almost been in. Back for thinking, time for thinking ahead.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Do you care about labor issues?
Does it matter to you that we're losing thousands of jobs a year in this country to NAFTA and CAFTA?
Should all working men and women have health coverage?
Do you care about local labor struggles where workers are being exploited?
Do you want to unionize?
If you care, then join us. I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley.
Every Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m. for our new show,
Labor Matters,
as we discuss these important issues.
Oh, yeah, what's going on here? I press the button, and, there it is. I just need some green onions in my ear. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show live on KRXA and KGOE. We continue with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter. Read his stuff, and it's powerful stuff at that, at truthout.org. And, Jason, we got more callers. I want to get right to them.
Sure.
But I wanted to ask you, would you be able to join us on a fairly regular basis? Because you're covering key stories that we talk about all the time.
Well, thank you. I very much appreciate that, and I'd certainly be happy to participate in future shows.
Great. Well, we'll work it out with Matt and make sure that it works with your schedule and covering the Enron trial, and I want to talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Just a quick question and answer, if you would. Do you believe that the Dick Cheney hunting episode story is finished? Sorry. Did I get you in the face?
Ouch. you know, do I think it's finished? I have to say I think it is. And here's what's actually, this actually would bring me to another part of something I wanted to mention earlier.
Go ahead.
This story that I had written about today on these 250 emails, there is not a single major media outlet that has reported on it.
Yeah.
When this was discussed in court last Friday. And it's one of the most explosive developments in the three-year-old investigation, other than the Libby indictment. And, you know, it brings me to, you know, because people have questioned why, you know, how is it that, you know, that I put this out here on truthout.org and it's not in the New York Times? Well, you know, the problem with the mainstream media is that they have this inability to juggle many different stories. And having been, you know, part of that group, you know, when I worked at the LA Times and Dow Jones, you know, I think they covered the shooting story to death. I don't know if there's, obviously, if there was, you know,
more to cover, but they focused on that, you know, for a good 24 hours a day for an entire week, and really left some other things hanging. And the same goes for the for the port story, the Dubai ports world.
Well, and doesn't it appear that the MSM, the mainstream media, is now just able to cover one story a week?
Well, that's exactly my point. So it was, yes, it's that seems that they're only, you know, everyone is sort of following each other, making sure that, you know, that they're doing that. I mean, I recall a time when there was one important story and then another important story in the same newspaper. But, I think that, because the Cheney shooting story was, had so much ink was spilled on it, and whether or not, the right questions were asked or the right information came out, I think that it's over simply because of how much coverage it got.
I still want to know about the one beer. What kind of beer was it? Did the Gisenslaw brothers bring him a whole case and he only had one?
Well, I can tell you this much. Back in New York when I was in college, they used to have this beer called Crazy Horse. Mm-hmm. And you drink one of those, and let me tell you, you'd be shooting more than somebody in the side of a face. So,
I also know some Rolling Rock junkies, and they could never have just one.
Exactly.
Let's take another call. Dave, thanks for holding. You're next with Jason Leopold. Go ahead.
Hey, Jason, I, too, appreciate your efforts, and I think it's almost impossible to put into words how really dangerous, how destructive, how harmful, how criminal, how psychopathic these guys are that have stolen our government right now. There's another story just broke in the last couple of hours here, right on CNN, I believe it is.
Yeah.
They're explaining to George Bush in the clearest of terms just how bad Katrina is going to be and of the urgent need to evacuate the town. So when he chose to kick back with his feet on the desk playing his harp, that tells me he didn't have his heart in saving a whole lot of poor black Democrats. That's consistent.
And that story that you're referring to is the Associated Press had just recently, maybe earlier today, had obtained videotape showing the president and Michael Chertoff a day before Katrina hit, in which they were briefed by
Brownie and the gang.
Yeah, they were briefed about the possibility of the levees being breached in New Orleans and the destruction that this hurricane would bring.
They went on to send away the hospital ship, and they went on to send away water trucks. Bad people here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks for that. We're going to be playing that clip coming up right after 4 o'clock, so we'll share that with our listeners and get more reaction. Thanks, Dave. Jason, I want to turn now to the Enron trial in Houston.
Right.
And it likewise has not gotten a lot of coverage. I've had to dig deep into my newspapers to get any bead on the story.
Yeah. Well,
and as I may have told you, I am a disaffected former Enron shareholder, so I have more than a passing interest.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, again, I think that 5 years have passed, 4.5 years rather, since Enron, filed for bankruptcy. And I think, my impression is that a lot of people have moved on. However, I also believe that in the public's mind, they've already found Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling guilty. It's sort of, the revelations that are coming out of the trial are really nothing new. Right now, there are things that have been written about and we've heard. However, that doesn't mean that it should not be covered. For example, I had written a story earlier, in the week about, the manipulation of the California energy market and the fact that Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling knew. Well, yesterday we had testimony by, that trader I cited named Tim Belden, and he said that Jeff Skilling knew what these guys were doing in terms of taking advantage of the market. And I think that the judgment on the editorial side for people, controlling, coverage in the newspapers and magazines and television, they're just assuming that people don't care. In fact, after I...
Yeah, and they're jamming us with Anna Nicole Smith's visit to the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, which is as trivial a case as you can imagine.
Exactly. If Anna Nicole Smith was named Anthony Smith, I'm sure it wouldn't, be of interest to anyone. But I think that, you know, many people are, or many news organizations assume that, you know, people just don't care. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people in California care. You know, this is, in fact, you know, I'm surprised that the LA Times hasn't jumped on this. But I'll tell you, the things that are coming out of that trial are very interesting. And
it's, now, Jason, let me ask you, is it true that the judge has refused to admit the tape recordings of the phone conversations between these traders, who were gaming the system, bragging about it, and enjoying, you know, a chuckle over grandmas in California who are sitting at home with the lights out?
Right.
The tapes haven't been permitted, but the transcripts of those conversations have been entered into evidence. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, and the reason that they won't allow the tape recordings is that they're, you know, they're saying, the judge says it's, you know, would prejudice the jury.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And in fact, by, you know, by excluding that, you're basically saying that, you know, the California energy crisis, that they had no role in it. They had, that was one of the biggest stories, and the biggest, you know, scandals that happened in the, you know, the new millennium back in 2000, 2001.
And Jason, a final question, just 30 seconds.
Sure.
Is Kenny Boy going to be able to point the finger at underlings and saying, they cooked the books and I wasn't in the kitchen?
That's exactly what he's going to say. You know, and Jeff Skilling is going to say, I left before anything happened. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, look out for Andrew Fastow. Andrew Fastow is going to be there very soon. And even though he has got a credibility problem, he is going to point the finger at Jeff Skilling.
Well, maybe he can sing on American Idol next. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk again soon.
Peter, thanks very much.
Jason Leopold, read his work at truthout.org. I'm Peter B. Collins. Coming up next, we open up the phones to ask you, are you prepared to pay higher gasoline taxes? I'm Peter B.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Just released tapes show the government knew how bad Katrina might be. FEMA's Michael Brown led the teleconference.
Everyone, let's go ahead and get started. It's noon. We have a lot of business to cover today.
President Bush visits Afghanistan, first president to go there since Eisenhower.
We're making progress dismantling Al-Qaeda.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. Federal officials, including the president, were briefed about how bad Hurricane Katrina might be. Former FEMA Director Michael Brown.
We're making progress of dismantling Al-Qaeda.
My gut was that this is a bad one and a big one, and you heard Max's comments. I still feel that way today.
This is what Hurricane Center Director Max Mayfield told them.
I don't think anyone can tell you with any confidence right now whether the levees will be topped or not. But that's obviously a very, very grave concern.
Mississippi and Louisiana officials were in on that briefing. President Bush gave assurances.
I want to assure the folks at the state level that we are fully prepared to not only help you during the storm, but we will move in whatever resources and assets we have at our disposal after the storm to help you deal with the loss of property, and we pray for no loss of life, of course.
Those tapes come from the Associated Press, which obtained them from the White House. The tapes clearly show FEMA and Homeland Security thought they were ready for a worst-case Katrina, but it took days and days to get help where it was needed most. And after the storm, on ABC's Good Morning America.
There is frustration, but I want people to know there's a lot of help coming.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
It'll be years in the coming back from that storm and Rita that followed. Now this message.
In the search for ways to improve health care, we'd like to add another solution. I-beams. That's right, I-beams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use I-beams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
President Bush on the road again, stopping first in Afghanistan.
I hope the people of Afghanistan understand as the democracy takes hold, you're inspiring others. And that inspiration will cause others to demand their freedom.
The president is in New Delhi, India, for a formal state visit now, 3 days long. Before he got there, 100,000 angry Muslims jammed at the city's streets, shouting death to America. His agenda for the India visit, CBS News correspondent Bill Plant.
The U.S. is hoping during this visit for an agreement on a civilian nuclear power program for India, but India would first have to open some of its reactors up to inspection, and so far there's no deal.
Mr. Bush plans to stop in Pakistan on Saturday on his way home. Sectarian violence in Iraq has killed another 30 or more Sunnis and Shiites today in fighting that has put mosques on the list of targets for attack. Iraqi military officials have not yet managed to get a handle on it. There is no law against digging in the ground or even making a tunnel. There are lots of laws against smuggling people or drugs. Some in Washington now say we need a law against border tunneling.
40 tunnels, one under the border with Canada, the rest Mexico, have been discovered in the past 5 years. And California Senator Dianne Feinstein says these aren't little tunnels.
It goes down up to 90 feet. It's 6 to 8 feet tall. It has ventilation.
But while smuggling drugs through it is obviously a crime, building the tunnel is not, something Feinstein and California Congressman Adam Schiff want to change.
The people who build this tunnel and tunnels like it ought to go to jail.
The group is also suggesting Mexico pass a similar law to better go after those who want to go under the border. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-41-GO-NOW. Oh, and there's a bonus. If you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-41-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-41-GO-NOW. Call now.
The latest consumer reports, car report, is out. CBS News correspondent John Harchie says only one American make, Mercury, cracked the top 10.
After a staff of 22 subjects new cars to over... It's 4:06 and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your humble host, Peter B. We got room for your calls during this half hour. Ted Rall, the cartoonist, columnist, and a fresh target of Ann Coulter's anti-liberal wrath, will join us coming up at 4:30. And my question to you this half hour is, are you ready to embrace a higher gasoline tax as a disincentive to consumption and a way to get people out of their Hummers and other high mileage, or actually very low mileage vehicles. That's what I want to know about. Are you ready to pay a gas tax? And if so, how much? How much do you think would be fair? And how do you want to see the proceeds of that used? I could see it used for highway maintenance, but I could also see it used for national health care coverage, single payer type. Anyway, my lines are open and I'd like to hear from you. We're going to get a brief update on the hearing in Sacramento today about electronic voting machines. We're also going to listen to that soundbite from the pre-Katrina meeting, where it shows they told the president that the levees may well flood, and then we'll take your calls. So 831-899-5792, a local call for the Central Coast, 899-KRXA, or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Dan Ashby joins us from Sacramento. He's part of the Election Protection Network here in California. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us, and we appreciate your update. There was a hearing called for 10 a.m. this morning by appointed Republican Secretary of State, Bruce McPherson. And the purpose of the meeting was certification of electronic voting machines by companies with the exclusion of Diebold, because he already did that and announced it a week ago Friday when nobody was paying attention. So tell me, first of all, what kind of turnout did you have for the protest before the hearing?
I'd say we probably had about 50 people out front with signs. We had coverage from the local media as well as some national affiliates with their TV crews.
Good, good. And tell us about the hearings. Did Secretary McPherson actually participate for a change?
He did not participate, but this time he was cited in the building.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's close. Give us a sense of what did occur. What were the proceedings like?
Well, as usual, a panel of about seven members of the Secretary of State staff sits on the stage, and they have a two-minute speaking rule for public commentary. First, though, the staff reads highlights of the state examiner's reports, and then there's opportunity for the vendors to reply, and then it's open for public comment. And so there was a stream of public commentators that lasted almost until 4 o'clock, and we addressed each of the three vendors, ES&S, HART, and Sequoia.
Mm-hmm.
And 99% of the comments were opposed to electronic voting and in favor of hand-counted paper ballots with public ownership of the systems, no private corporations, no secret software.
And Dan, when you make those comments, you're permitted to do so, do they actually engage with you and respond to what is said, or do they simply say, thank you, and now you can sit down?
The latter. There is no response from the floor. You don't get a call and response. You don't get to cross-examine. You just make your statement.
Mm-hmm. And what was the posture of the lobbyists and other representatives for the electronic voting machine companies?
Well, there were a couple of them who spoke up, representatives of Sequoia and ES&S, clarifying in some cases the certification report statements that were read from the stage by the SOS staff, and in other cases rebutting members of the audience or attempting to, although I don't think that they were particularly successful at that because we actually know the facts and we're not easily snowed.
Mm-hmm. And as you read the room, did you get the sense that this was just one of those painful exercises that bureaucrats and public officials have to submit to, and that at the end of the day they're going to do what they wanted to do anyway, regardless of what you or others had to say?
Well, yes, that's absolutely what's happening. We know we've been through this three or four times already, and we do it to put our comments and the information we have into the public record, which is at least something. But we do realize that at this point we have to resort to lawsuits, to injunctions, to get them to enforce their own California state law that they're sworn to uphold and they're routinely violating.
And, Dan, were there any representatives from county registrars of voters?
Yes, there was a registrar from Contra Costa County, one from Riverside County, one from Napa County. In all respects, they spoke to assure the crowd that they had utmost confidence in their voting systems.
Okay.
Not that we're surprised. But,
and did any of them discuss the idea that's been floated earlier about using only paper ballots like absentee ballots because they don't have confidence in the electronic machines in time for this June's primary?
Well, I believe that of the three that I mentioned, Stephen Weir is probably the most amenable to alternatives, has more of an open mind. They do have an optical scan county, and they use the AutoMark, which is one of the more benign electronic devices in that it does not record the vote electronically. It prints a vote that is counted, unfortunately, by scanners. When you say absentee ballots, you have to remember those are being counted by scanners and tabulated by the same obscured systems that count the DREs. So unless you have a hand recount, you really have no independent verification of your vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anything else you'd like to add, Dan, about this hearing in Sacramento today?
Well, we had some excellent testimonies from people who have technical credentials to tear into the technical reports and also tell the example of doing independent hack studies of the software. So we had some very interesting comments about Sequoia software from Jeremiah Aiken, a computer expert in Riverside, who relayed his information, his study, to one of our members, Jim Silver, who spoke for 15 minutes, who was the only member of the audience who was given extended time to speak at length on a 15-minute basis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Dan, thank you for being there today. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you checking in with us. This is something we care a lot about, and thank you for being active on our behalf.
Thank you.
All right. That's Dan Ashby from Election Protection Network checking in on the hearings, which didn't apparently produce much, but did give people, as he said, an opportunity to put objections on the record. 12 minutes, 13 minutes past 4 o'clock now, and we'll go to the phones in our next segment. If you have a comment about this or about any other issue in the news, 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. Right now, we're going to listen to about a two-minute audio soundbite, and this is a clip from the video that you heard reported earlier today, which shows that before Katrina hit New Orleans, the president and Michael Chertoff were aware of serious concerns about flooding, not just about wind and storm damage from Katrina itself. Let's listen.
It was Sunday, August 29th, 19 hours before Hurricane Katrina slams ashore on the Louisiana coast. The storm was still at sea, swirling and strengthening. Then FEMA Chief Michael Brown was briefing President Bush, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, and local officials on the readiness plans. The meeting was recorded, and now, 6 months later, obtained exclusively by the Associated Press. The tape shows a clear sense of urgency.
My gut tells me, I told you guys, my gut was that this is a bad one and a big one. Everyone within FEMA is actually on call. This is, put it mildly, the big one, I think.
The nation's top hurricane experts offer their predictions.
This is a Category 5 hurricane. Very similar to Hurricane Andrew in the maximum intensity, but there's a big, big difference. This hurricane is much larger than Andrew ever was.
And identify major threats.
I also want to make absolutely clear to everyone that the greatest potential for a large loss of life is still in the coastal areas from the storm surge.
Brown also voices concern over the so-called shelter of last resort, the New Orleans Superdome, another fear that would, in time, prove accurate.
As you may or may not know, the Superdome is about 12 feet below sea level, so I don't know what the heck. And I also concerned about that roof. I don't know whether that roof is designed to withstand a Cat 5 hurricane. So not to be kind of gross here, but I'm concerned about NDMS and medical and DMORT assets and their ability to respond to a catastrophe within a catastrophe. So
President Bush was dialed into that briefing from his ranch in Crawford, Texas, and offers support for the ongoing efforts.
I want to assure the folks at the state level that we are fully prepared to not only help you during the storm, but we will move in whatever resources and assets we have at our disposal after the storm to help you deal with the loss of property, and we pray for no loss of life, of course.
But the president doesn't ask any questions, and just 4 days later tells ABC News that no one could have predicted the scope of this storm.
There is frustration, but I want people to know there's a lot of help coming. I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
A seemingly direct contradiction to what is said at the briefing.
I don't think anyone can tell you with any confidence right now whether the levees will be topped or not, but that's obviously a very, very grave concern.
Concern for a storm that would leave more than 1,300 dead and 2,300 people missing.
So that is that report, and I'll just direct you to the comment from the reporter toward the end of it. Confronted with the obvious lie of the President of the United States. This broadcast journalist could only bring himself to say, that is seemingly a direct contradiction. The word lie is hard to get past the lips of highly paid network correspondents. 4:16 now, we're going to take a break and return. I welcome your comments on the president and the Katrina story. We can also talk about the prospects of an increased gas tax. I'll give you more details on that after the break. Call me now at 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. Here at the KRXNA studios, we've been asking ourselves a musical question lately. Oh, where can our Amy be?
I'm here, Peter.
We last heard from her right before the Dick Cheney hunting accident.
Oh, and has it been that long?
I was worried that you got sprayed.
Well, no, I had to go out there. I was trying to pull the pellets out of my face.
How you doing?
I'm doing much better. I'm back. And, you know, we're not doing so well, though, in Monterey, westbound 68 before Olmsted, an accident on the shoulder. A couple of cars involved, and there's debris and liquid from the crash in the lane. Also, in Castroville, Ormart Road at Del Monte Farms, an injury accident involving a pickup truck and a motorcycle. The Napa hat swap has begun. Just bring in an old hat into your local Napa auto parts store, and they'll swap it for a brand new racing hat. Napa, get the good stuff. Amy Knight Woodruff.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I would be Peter B. My lines are open to hear from you at 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast, or you can dial me toll-free at 888-579-2540. And my question of the moment is, are you prepared to embrace a significantly higher gasoline tax, like an extra buck or buck and a half a gallon? And if the federal government imposed that tax, would it change your driving behavior? Would you trade in a guzzler for a hybrid? Would you use public transportation instead of your car? And my third question is, if you embraced a gas tax increase, a substantial one, what should we do with that tax revenue? I think it should go for single-payer health care. That's the greatest screaming need we have in this country. And if we're going to engage in this kind of social engineering, using taxes to try to change people's behavior, well, I think that's the most important benefit that we could get out of it. Tom Friedman wrote about this in his op-ed column at the New York Times today, and he says the only real solution to our addiction to oil is to raise the gasoline tax, which is simply 18.4 cents a gallon right now. And I've heard this from other people. And in general, I find it an attractive concept. But it is a highly regressive tax on those who can least afford to pay it, who need their vehicles to get to work and back every day. And there are a lot of working poor in this country who have older cars that are not as fuel efficient. And unless we can give them some sort of a tax break to help them deal with a steep hike in the gas tax, on balance, I'm not ready to go there. But I think it's an interesting idea, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. We go to the phones now. Susan in Felton, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm glad that you brought the question up. Didn't we just give the oil companies $12 billion on back to them? How do you call that? Subsidiaries or what
subsidies.
Is that word?
Subsidies.
Yeah, subsidies. Thanks. Yeah. My mouth wasn't working there.
Yeah, the energy bill had a number of gifts for the oil companies at a time when they're banking record profits at our expense.
Right. So here Exxon has $32 billion. Everybody's got all these records, and we're giving them $12 billion. I don't think the public realizes we just gave them $12 billion. They want to go into Alaska when we've told them over and over and over again, don't do that. So I think, and also I have a hybrid, and I love it, but I was just fortunate by chance to get into this car because usually I'm broke. So the poor people are the ones that are really going to take it if there is a tax. I think that what we should do is, if there is any kind of a tax, is go back and sue the oil companies for this illegal war, starting with Holly Burton, who they overcharged our army guys. Remember when they went into Iraq and they overcharged them for the oil?
Oh, but Susan, you've missed it. They've been vindicated. The auditors at the Pentagon overruled the auditors who had said that Halliburton should pay back $263 million, and they cut it down to $10 million.
Can you believe that? And then they got a
parking ticket.
And they got a $58 million bonus. They've screwed our guys over there on their food. They've screwed them over on oil and also on any kind of, on their weapons and on any kind of security. And then they get a bonus. And then we're over here being scared to death with this inflation that's not even happening. It's all smoke and mirrors. But the big problem we have here is our country has been taken over. It's not a democracy. I mean, you've had one thing there on the election. We all know our electoral system's totally broken. The 2000, 2002, 2004, all of them have been broken elections. And if anybody reads John Conyer Jr.'s latest book on the broken elections, he's just pointed it out. Fact per fact, how easy it is, but it's very, very broken. And now you have this oil thing that is just going to drain our pockets. And I'll tell you, the day we run out of oil in this country, you are going to see insanity. And then I know that Bush wants to come down for any reason. He and Cheney want martial law. So my question to you is, I am not so much for the tax because the Hummer people can pay it. And also, we had a bus strike out here that lasted for over a month.
Yes, you did.
And it just killed people. It was so sad. I'm not kidding. I was really into trying to. I was just in tears. You wouldn't believe how it hurt students and elderly people going to work. It was just unbelievable. So now Halliburton subsidiary, it says, this is something Peter Dale Scott wrote. It's he wrote about the Halliburton subsidiary, Kellogg Brown and Root.
Right,
they just got $385 million contract from Homeland Security to, quote, put in temporary detention and processing capabilities. So they're going to start these detention camps in the United States. So I'll tell you, when people start losing their oil, Cheney says we're going to be hit by a big one. It's not if, but when. And Bush has been dying to get martial law. So people better wake up.
Now, what do you base your martial law suspicion on, Susan?
Well, okay, he mentioned this the first time. First off, when Katrina hit, and that was on purpose. It was a racist thing on poor people. 80% of Louisiana, of New Orleans, 80% of the black people cannot go back, and that's ridiculous. All of those people should be given the choice to go back. And so there's one. Bush says, well, maybe we should have martial law. It's the very first time they used mercenaries in Louisiana. They were deputized, the Blackwater security, right from Iraq. They also used Israeli mercenaries. Those people were the first time we've had mercenaries on our soil since, geez, way, way back.
You mean the Hessians?
And, yeah. And so,
all right, Susan,
Bush,
thank you. I'm out of time. I got to wrap it up here and take a break. But I appreciate your call, and thank you for listening to our program. We'll continue in just a moment after the break. We'll be joined by cartoonist and columnist, and I guess he's a communist, too, according to Ann Coulter. Ted Rall will be here. You can visit his website in the meantime at TedRall, RALL.com. I'm Peter B. Collins. Glad to have you listening.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show emanating from your radio speakers. From earbuds up to the big bows, we take them all. Yeah, Evis, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding, huh? And what's so funny about Ann Coulter when she wishes for the death of liberals or others with whom she does not agree? Ann Coulter once said, "My only regret with Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, is he did not go to the New York Times building." After 9/11, she was spreading peace, love, and understanding to the Islamic world. She said, "We should invade their countries, kill their leaders, and convert them to Christianity." What is the bloodlust that Ann Coulter possesses? And what is it about America's media that lets her get away with this stuff? As you know, almost any one of us, left of the far right, who would, for example, wish for the death of Tom DeLay, or hope that Karl Rove gets run over by a bus, or hope that Dick Cheney might be cleaning his gun and have it misfire on him, any kind of things like that that we might say, we would be ridden out of town on a rail. Well, Ted Rall is feeling the heat. He is a cartoonist. You can read his work at tedrall.com. Rall is R-A-L-L. And he's written a piece that was published last week regarding his problems with Ann Coulter. And while we're waiting to connect up with Ted, I'll read you a couple of comments from this column that he wrote. He says, "Coulter is the Republican id, giving voice to ugly sentiments that other conservatives don't dare express aloud for fear of public censure. Muslims are subhuman, torture is okay, all liberals are traitors, liberals hate America, they hate flag wavers, they hate abortion opponents, they hate all religions except Islam." Some of those are actual quotes from Ann Coulter. "Even Islamic terrorists don't hate America like liberals do," she said in 2002. And Ted Rall writes, "For Coulter, there is never censure, only more royalties from her best-selling books." And he writes pretty forcefully here, Coulter is a nasty, foul-mouthed bigot, all of which, like my observation of same, is thankfully protected by the First Amendment. The same cannot be said, however, about her malicious lies about me. So here's where it gets personal for Ted. In the same column as her aforementioned anti-Muslim slurs, Coulter wrote, Iran is led by a lunatic who makes a big point of denying the Holocaust. Indeed, in response to the Muhammad cartoons, one Iranian newspaper is soliciting cartoons about the Holocaust. And then in parentheses, Ann Coulter writes, So far, the only submissions have come from Ted Rall, Gary Trudeau, and the New York Times. That may have been a joke, but Ted Rall doesn't think so. And I can't believe that she left Michael Moore out, even though he's not a cartoonist. And so Ted Rall writes further, Coulter is entitled to her opinions, not to lie about the facts. I have not entered, nor do I intend to enter, Iran's anti-Holocaust cartoon contest. And I don't take kindly to being associated with the Iranian president's comments denying Nazi atrocities. Yo, Ann, criticizing Bush doesn't make me a neo-Nazi, anti-Semitic, Holocaust denier. In fact, I despise Bush precisely because his rise to power, love of violence, and jingoism mirror those of the Third Reich. Now, Coulter's defenders, this is Ted Rall writing still, say she was just joking. Her enemies say don't take her seriously. But the content of her column, which references the Egyptian ferry disaster and the Danish Muhammad cartoon hubbub, with a central thesis that advocates bombing Syria back to the Stone Age and then permanently disarming Iran, is deadly serious. Which is exactly the way her readers, who sent me emails calling me an anti-Semite and anti-American traitor, took her lie about me. Iran's cartoon contest is the sort of thing you'd expect Ted Rall to enter. Would have qualified as satire, or bad satire, Rall writes, but she didn't say that. So he goes on to say that attorneys have told him that he has an actionable claim on two counts against Ann Coulter. He says it wouldn't be an open and shut case, but there are precedents in my favor. Readers of my Rawl blog have pledged nearly $9,000 if I file such a lawsuit, but it would take several times that amount to keep fighting until I get my day in court. A deep-pocketed angel would make the difference, wishes Ted Rawl. Well, we're unable to reach Ted right now. We're getting his answering machine, so maybe he's having coffee with Ann Coulter. Or helping her clean her gun. I don't know. So I'll take your calls at 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You can talk about Ann Coulter, you can talk about cartoons, or you can talk about anything else that is on your mind today that you think other people would be interested in hearing. 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. We got Billy on the line. Hello, Billy. Welcome to the program today.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Doing okay. I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd just be sitting here flapping, saying, what the hell happened to Ted Rall?
Well, you know, that was an interesting little article you read there. And I must say that the last line was what I, you know, was one of the things that I wanted to say, which is, you know, I know that Ann is, you know, a funny guy. And I mean that, I mean both of those things. And I'll get to that in a minute, too. But see, the problem is exactly what that last line that you read is, and that is that right-wingers don't know that. They're so stupid, and that is a problem, that they don't know that. And the other day you were talking about Anne, and it seems like we're obsessed with her, and you mentioned that she was packing. I'm confused. Which packing did you mean?
Well, the comment I've been making about her is I believe that she has heavily injected Botox in her face. And when I've watched her on television, her upper lip is immobilized.
That's not the packing you were talking about at the time.
Are you talking about packing heat like guns?
Or her package, if you will.
Oh, you mean like implants?
No, that maybe when she started out, she was more like you and me than seems obvious. That's what I mean by packing.
Well,
isn't what you meant by packing.
Well, I have heard people raise questions about her original sexuality, but I don't know. I've never been in the same room with her, so I can't make any claims to have observed her carefully.
Well, the only person I know who has had intimate experience with her is Bill Maher, and he would be happy with her even if it was true either way.
He does joke about her, but he has her on the show on a pretty regular basis.
No, well, because they are, you know, they are intimate. They're friends, and more importantly, they're intimate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, this is why I call.
Well, you know, this is how I learn things, Billy.
So what are we going to do about all of this?
Well, I think Ann Coulter needs a good, fat lawsuit. And I would, you know, if Ted Rall had been able to join us today, I was going to kick in $50.
It's certainly true, your attitude, what you're saying about the fact that we couldn't say the same stuff and get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that seems strange. Again, it's about us being smarter than the other side. We're more tolerant of free speech. I mean, isn't that the real difference between the left and the right, as far as I can tell? And that is that the right wing has to feel as if they're the best in the world. You know, this whole thing about we're the best country that ever was or could be. Can't stand criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that whole God thing. You know, believing that things are meant to be a certain way.
Well, these are the same people who lay into what they perceive as the political correctness of the left, as they are imposing their own sense of political correctness from the right.
Yeah, and neither side is doing any good. You know, I'd like to work on the language a little bit while we have a minute.
Okay.
You know how we say that certain seats are safe?
Yes.
Instead of saying safe, why don't we say criminally locked up so that the present character keeps it? You know, the whole way we speak about this is as if we accept the fact that democracy is long gone. I am one of these people, not as positive as you. I think we've lost it already. When I look at things like gerrymandering, mm-hmm. when I look at the fact that, you know, the thing you keep talking about, the voting machines,
right.
and what's not happening to protect our vote, well, you know, democracy's gone here.
Well, and just keep in mind, the media is going to protect us from that knowledge as long as possible. Iraq is not yet in a civil war, and the United States has not yet descended into fascism, if you read the corporate media.
Thanks.
Thank you, Billy. We'll take more calls in just a moment. There's still room for you at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. I haven't mentioned my email address in eons. You can send me a note to Peter at KRXA540.com. That's Peter at KRXA540.com, the same website where our web stream is available to listeners outside the areas of our broadcast signals. That's KRXA540.com. We'll take more of your calls right after a quick break. It's Fo Foti Fo here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues.
Don't give up the fight.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop. where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
KRXA 540 takes a look at your traffic. It's 446, and here's our favorite reporter, Amy Knight.
So much, Peter. We still have a lot of talk about 68 westbound before Olmsted in Monterey. An accident clearing on the shoulder, a couple of cars involved, and there may still be debris in the lane, so drive with caution. And a serious injury accident in Castroville, Olmark Road at Del Monte Farms Road. Injury crash involving a pickup truck and a motorcycle. Emergency crews are on scene, but we're waiting for a medical helicopter to arrive. And watch out for a tire in the right lane, northbound 101 at Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Napa hat swap has begun. Just bring an old hat from your local Napa auto parts store, and they'll swap it out for a brand new racing hat. Napa, get the stuff. Unite with traffic on KRXA 530.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls, and coming up right after 5 o'clock, our weekly visit with investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna from rawstory.com, and room for more calls between 5:30 and 6 this evening in our regular free speech zone. And we had hoped to be hooking up with Ted Rall this half hour. Something happened. Maybe Ann Coulter seduced him. I don't know. But I did want to point out a fellow cartoonist of Ted Rawls, who is published three times a week or so in the San Francisco Chronicle. Don't know if you've paid the cash to see his work, but it's called Bad Reporter, and the cartoonist is Don Asmussen. And I just want to read a couple of lines from today's because I thought it was really funny. The opening scene or panel is a mock-up of the Chronicle newspaper, and the headline reads, "Tensions escalate as Arab newspaper prints 12 cartoons mocking U.S. ports." And the line below reads, "President Bush urges Americans to remain calm so that he and his friends can make a lot of money." You can probably find it at the Chronicle website, sfgate.com, and it'll be funnier if you read it for yourself. Sharon in Marina, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I love your show.
Thank you. I love it when you call.
I wanted to really address the gas tax issue.
Sure.
My take on it, I'm not from California originally. I'm from Boston. And I've noticed in California, for one thing, you are not going to get these people out of their cars.
You're right.
Onto public transportation or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I own one of those 10-year-old cars you spoke of.
Yeah.
That's a gas, you know, it's not real great on gas.
It's a consumer.
Yeah. And there's not anything I can, I'm one of those work paycheck to paycheck check
sure.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not in the market for a new car. Also,
now, what if we gave you some tax incentive? If we ratcheted up the gas tax and at the same time gave people who earn less than $50,000 a year some sort of a tax credit to purchase a new fuel-efficient car?
That'd be great. That'd
mm-hmm.
be great. I hate to be cynical and say I don't think it'll happen, but that would be great. The other thing I'm thinking is the people that can afford to buy these big, giant SUVs don't care how much the gas costs, and they will pay it to fill those things up.
Well, and to the extent that people do that, if the tax is high enough and if the tax revenues are used for a good cause, then we'll get some positive benefit out of their negative actions.
Hopefully, while the rest of us go broke filling up our gas tank. I mean, I did like your idea about it going to health care, but I'm also cynical about that, you know. Where your money ends up is not where it's supposed to most of the time.
And given the government that we have right now, your cynicism is very well placed, Sharon.
Good, because people tell me I tend to be a little cynical.
When did you get out of Massachusetts?
I've been here 15 years yesterday.
Oh, good for you.
I'm trying to make it out here and want to stay out here.
Yeah.
But it's rough.
It sure is.
I have one more little comment.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, too, that Ann Coulter, well, I wish people would ignore her more. But I was going to say maybe she did need some of that intimate contact, but apparently she is getting that. And that's not going to help her, so she sounds hopeless to me.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And she's a very scary, sick person.
Well, she's one of the few people who really can infuriate me. I actually had an interview scheduled with her one time,
oh,
and
God.
I started to read her book. And I got about 30 or 40 pages into it, and I had bent over so many pages and made so many notes in the margins that it was almost impossible to read anymore. And at that point, I called her publicist and said, forget it.
Well, good for you. That's less coverage she got.
Yeah, that's all it would do is encourage her.
Yeah, I think she gets way too much press.
Yeah.
She really does.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're very, very welcome.
Dave in the Pinnacles, you're next on the Peter B. Show. Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing, Peter? Hey, although this Ann Coulter thing seems to be kind of entertaining in a kind of a sick sort of a way.
Yeah.
You know, this issue that a caller or a guest that you had about a half hour ago came up with the Blackwater Security, a private army cruising around our country. That just freaks me out, Peter.
Well, it should.
No kidding. And I want to know, how come it's not freaking a whole bunch of other people out?
Wait, wait, wait. Let's just stop right there, Dave. I think that is the power question of the day. When we look around the world, we see that there's unrest in the Philippines. There's unrest in Iraq
everywhere
that we know a lot about. You know, there are many other countries right now that are experiencing different kinds of upheaval where the public is outraged at what a government is doing, and they're saying, we're not going to take it anymore. But the American public is pacified and seems content to struggle over who's going to win this next round of American Idol, that's more important to them than what's going on in Iraq and how the wrecking crew is dismantling so many important functions of our government.
Well, it looks like a very sad reflection on our future, because if people can just blow off freedom like that, I mean, there's just no hope. You know, I'm sure, are you aware of the headlines? I think it was in the Mercury about all the murder going on down in Mexico by the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's another issue that just freaks me out, too. Here we are. We're supposed to be the shining, you know, city on the hill standing for freedom and democracy. And here we are dealing with tyrants. You go to like that China. You know, China shuts down newspapers. I can't remember how many hundreds of local newspapers the Chinese government just shut down. When they execute people in China, it's the number, the quantity, it's a state secret. They don't tell you how many people they kill. It's just the notion that we're dealing with people like this just makes me sick, pal.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't seem to appreciate that our president dropped in on Afghanistan for a surprise visit to share his optimism and then went off to a meeting in Pakistan with our deep ally, General Musharraf. And I hope you can laugh a little bit about it, Dave, because it's pretty twisted.
Well,
but we do have a president who is oblivious
to the
rhetoric that he offers and how far from reality it really is.
Well, it seems to me one of the saddest things is the loyal opposition. Where are the people at? We don't seem to have people coming out of the woodwork on these guys. And you know what I think we need to get started? If we only do it here in Monterey County, let's at least have an election watch. Let's have an organization that does some polling and find out exactly how close are our elections to exit polling data. We need to get on top of our elections. Just getting told what the vote was. Just don't cut it anymore, Peter.
All right, Dave. Good to hear from you.
Okay,
Ed in Aptos, you're next. Ed, welcome to the program today.
Greetings.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Other than the current state of affairs, of course.
Well, sure.
I want to talk about the gas tax. I think that it should go up. I mean, you know, Europeans have been taxing themselves quite highly on their gas, and it hasn't seemed to, you know, kill them off. As suggested uses for the money, one would be going to public transportation so that you could get around without having to depend on your car.
And what about that ultra-light rail? where, you know, cars or vehicles the size of cars are put on a pathway and conveyed from point A to point B without using their own engines.
Oh, I was going to toot that horn a little bit.
I think we could have a
program on that sometime to educate the people about the concept. It goes by the moniker of PRT, which stands for Personal Rapid Transit.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that it's like an elevator, in that you go point to point within the transportation system, and you have your own dedicated cars, and the vehicles are on a common trackway, but their stations are offline so that you can merge and mix the traffic via computer, and therefore you don't have to have a large vehicle that stops and starts and all that stuff, which is the bane of other public transportation systems.
Right.
Anyhow,
we're having some fun there with the grandkids, Ed.
Exactly. I'm up in the wilds of Contra Costa County.
All right. I got time for one more point. Go ahead.
Well, Ed Schultz was talking about, and people talking about the locked up seats, but I can remember that Tom Foley was the Speaker of the House. He got defeated in his seat, and it was probably would consider to be a fully safe seat.
Yeah.
And I remember another fellow, I forget his name, he was up in Oregon. He was the head of the Ways and Means Committee. He was served a district up in the northeast corner of Oregon, and his name escapes me. This, mm-hmm. It's been 25, 30 years ago, but he was beaten.
I was thinking of Packwood, but he beat himself with the sexual harassment issue. He was a senator.
This has been maybe 30 years ago, but mm-hmm. still he held a very powerful position in Congress, which you would think that would sway his constituents.
Well, it should be the case that no seat is actually safe, particularly in the House of Representatives. It wasn't intended to be that way, but the sad fact is that most of them are. Ed, thanks for checking in from Contra Costa County today. Coming up next after the news, Larissa Alexandrovna from Raw Story joins us. She had an encounter with arch-conservative Michael Ledeen, and she'll tell us about it.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays. Use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236. 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. The date was August 28, 2005. FEMA Director Michael Brown, the day before Hurricane Katrina slammed into the Gulf Coast, devastating New Orleans.
My gut tells me, I told you guys, my gut was that this is a bad one and a big one, and you heard Max's comments. I still feel that way today.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says it's from videotapes and transcripts obtained by the Associated Press of administration briefings of what may come.
It's clear, at least in this one video teleconference, that Michael Brown is sounding the alarm. Also, it's unmistakable from the National Hurricane Center Director Max Mayfield that he is predicting a very, very dire consequence. At that time, Katrina was still a Category 5. He's warning people very clearly this could be worse than Andrew. He's worried about the levees. Brown adds that he's worried about the Superdome. All of this on the day before the storm hits.
In New Orleans, Mayor Ray Nagin says he's shocked. WWL reporter Dave Cohen has more.
I feel like we got cheated.
This man's house was washed away. Nothing left but the foundation.
We just got tossed aside.
You lost a house. Yeah. If you could talk to the president now, in light of this video, what would you say?
Where were you? That's all you can say. Where were you then, and where are you now?
Others share the sentiment, wondering, isn't New Orleans part of the United States?
But despite this new video, the president still has his defenders here.
We just need to move on and go forward.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
On the front in New Orleans, the cruise is over for hundreds of hurricane evacuees. They started clearing out from two cruise ships there, though a handful of evacuees living on a third ship are still fighting today's Federal Emergency Management Agency deadline to move out. No one was told till they were on the way, and no one was told about it till they were on the ground in Afghanistan. President Bush en route to India, repeating his promise to capture Osama bin Laden.
We got U.S. forces on the hunt for not only bin Laden, but anybody who plots and plans with bin Laden.
President Bush also reassured Afghan leaders the U.S. will continue its support. Then it was on to India. Tens of thousands turning out in the streets of New Delhi to protest the visit. President Bush is in India trying to improve relations and nail down an elusive nuclear deal. If the technology permits it, why continue to ban cell phone use on board passenger jets? Interference with the plane's controls? Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander says federal agencies should not permit their use because of cell phone rudeness. He says it would take three times as many federal air marshals to break up the fights among the passengers. Where is the heart of NASCAR? Daytona? Atlanta? Charlotte? The money's been on Charlotte to land the NASCAR Hall of Fame, but the Associated Press is quoting two NASCAR sources saying Charlotte may be the leading candidate, but Daytona and Atlanta are still in the running. This is CBS News.
Everyone can use a little help with dating and relationships. And now, you have a great way to get it at Match.com. Because we're working with...
the one, the only, Dr. Phil!
Match.com will show you who. Dr. Phil will show you how.
The way you can make the best first impression is to be excited about who you are.
Come be a part of an online relationship revolution and see what we can do for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
I know smoking is dangerous, and I've decided to quit.
Last night, Allison went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
Quitting won't be easy, not for me, but I feel good that I've taken that first step.
If you're a smoker who's decided to quit, QuitAssist is an online resource that provides links to the information, advice, and support you're looking for. Find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
This was quick. $92 million taken, bad guys captured. CBS News reporter Larry Miller in London.
The arrests came after police spent the last 2 days searching a farm not far from the site of the $92 million robbery. A farm owned by a 57-year-old used car salesman. He's charged with conspiracy to rob and three charges of kidnapping relating to the abduction of the manager of the Bank of England Currency Distribution Center and his wife and son. A 47-year-old man was charged with conspiracy to rob. A 39-year-old woman charged with handling stolen goods. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
But is it going to boost traffic? Officials at Southern California's Knott's Berry Farm hope so. Adult tickets to the amusement park today slipped more than 10% to $39.95. Cotton candy no longer costs $3. It's down to $2.75. I'm Lou Malignano, CBS News.
In the search for ways to improve healthcare, we'd like to add another solution. iBeams. That's right, iBeams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use iBeams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
May I have this dance, please? Because after all, I am the greatest dancer. Well, that's not really true. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. I can't hardly dance, but I can talk just as good as I walk. Apologies to Archie Drell. We open up this hour with our weekly visit with investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna. She's a managing editor at RawStory.com. And then we throw open the phones again at 5:30 to hear your comments on issues in the news. And if you'd like to grab a line, you can reach me at 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. Larissa, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm watching the wheels come off this truck. I'm sure you've seen the footage by now.
Oh, yes. You're talking about the pre-Katrina video conference?
Yes. Nobody could have envisioned. Now, if we could just get somebody with, enough courage to leak the nobody could have envisioned planes being hijacked footage and briefings.
Yeah.
That would be terrific.
What was interesting is at the tail end of the report that we played, and I think it's a reporter from ABC News, but I didn't actually hear the lockout, as it's called, the end piece where he says, I'm dumb, dumb, dumb. He played the clip from the video conference, then played the clip from the president 3 days later saying, I don't think anybody ever imagined that the water would go up above the levees or that the levees would breach.
Right.
And the reporter said, well, that's seemingly a direct contradiction.
Yeah, he couldn't use the word lie.
Now, what's wrong with that picture?
He couldn't use the word lie. They don't mainstream. In fact, when I've used the word lie in my reports, it's been edited out. It's just frowned upon. I'm certainly not happy about it, but it's frowned upon that you have to defer and you have to have respect for the office, and so you don't say lie.
Yeah, but this report was on ABC, not Fox.
I understand that, but I'm telling you. Well, on Fox, they would just simply not even cover it, probably. Or if they did, they'd... Shepard Smith might actually cover it because he was so outraged. Remember from Fox, he was down there,
right.
And Geraldo, they were crying after the small babies and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
They might actually cover it. But, yeah, I mean, it's very uncommon. In fact, I've yet to hear anyone in mainstream alternative press or mainstream press who uses the word lie. It's just not done.
We've got to confront the fact that when the truth isn't told,
right,
it's not a seeming contradiction.
It's a lie.
It
correct.
It is an L-I-E, and I have musical accompaniment for us. You know, in 2004, Ben Cohen of the Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream Fortune,
he
funded an effort that had these pants-on-fire mobiles, there were two of them, driving around the country in major cities, just playing that song and saying Bush is a liar. Pants
right.
on fire.
Right. Well, I've said that in my columns. In my columns, I have much more I can say whatever I want, basically, to some extent. But
yeah.
And I really wish we could, in writing news, not be edited out in that way. I mean, for example, the Ledeen interview I did this week, it's the first part of a series. Half of that interview was edited out. So
really, why?
Because it was it could inflame emotions. I know you've read it. So the part where I talk about World War II and how we don't hold corporations and wealthy individuals accountable for war crimes,
mm-hmm.
then they go on to commit them again. I brought up Prescott Bush and the Walker side of the family,
mm-hmm.
and my editor was not pleased.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, let's explain for our listeners who Michael Ledeen is and how you survived an interview with such a smarmy individual.
You know, you're the first person to ask me that. Everyone's just asking me how I got it. he is smarmy. He's very good. Yeah, Michael.
It drips off the page, Larissa. I wasn't there. I just read your Q&A, and smarmy is the first word that comes to mind.
Yeah, smarmy is about right. I actually did say that to him, too. Basically, Michael Ledeen is Karl Rove's only foreign policy advisor currently, or was until very recently, although he denies it. He was. He's also very heavily embroiled in the Niger forgeries scandal, as he was dispatched out of the Office of Special Plans by Doug Feith, along with Larry Franklin, who's now pled guilty to passing classified information to Iran and Israel, and Harold Rode, who is under investigation for passing secrets. These three were dispatched to Rome, where these documents originated. And Ladine's embroiled in this for many reasons, and I don't want to get into all of the specifics.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he is essentially part of that wonderful group known as PNAC. He's one of the original founders. I know your listeners are familiar with We Needed a New Pearl Harbor type
right.
of thing.
Project for a New American Century.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's one of the authors. But more interestingly, I think, even more interestingly than his background as directly involved in Iran-Contra, he was, in fact, the middleman between all of these various agencies and Iranian arms dealers, is that he's very heavily implicated in the false flag operations in Rome that came under the name of Strategy of Tension, which essentially you had government officials in intelligence bombing their own trains and blaming it on dissidents in order to move a political agenda. And during the court proceedings, it came out in the court documents that he was, or his name actually, among others, was one of the involvements in those events. He was one of the involved people in those events, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's fascinating, although that's not something he was willing to discuss with me at all. How I survived it, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I try to hold my own. I don't know if I managed, but I tried. So we'll
now
see.
Give us two or three key points that surfaced in this conversation, the edited version with Michael Ladine.
Right. Well, I think one interesting thing is, I mean, he's a diehard neoconservative, but he thinks he's a democratic revolutionary, which is just fantastically insane,
mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing democratic or revolutionary about hard right, authoritative type of empire-building notions. I think the most important thing that came out of this part of the series is that he does believe that the torture going on now by our military via, on orders from the vice president's offices,
mm-hmm.
Constitutes war crimes, and everyone from top to bottom should be held accountable. So I think that's very important. When you have one of the architects of the foreign policy we're now seeing saying, wait a minute, this is war crimes, then I think it's very important to try to get that out, because that's not, you know, liberal propaganda. That's a very right-wing, you know, person saying that, and so I think that was probably the most important piece out of this part of the interview. And
there's that Homeland Security plane buzzing you again.
I know. Sorry about that.
Don't let me distract you. Go ahead.
What did you think was what would you highlight as
well?
Important?
I just thought that his description of himself, and then the way he dissed the other side. He says, "I describe myself as a democratic revolutionary.
Right.
I don't think of myself as conservative at all." And this is weird. "Indeed, it seems to me that most self-described leftists today are reactionaries and have lost the right to describe themselves as people of the left."
Right.
And,
right. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's fascinating that he says that.
And so then one has to ask, well, what is your perspective, Mr. Ladine? Because you have put yourself in a kind of self-described center of reality that doesn't relate that much to the reality the rest of us recognize.
Right. And then I think I try to head in that direction when I take one of his concepts, which is, you know, spreading freedom like a venereal disease at the barrel of a gun. And I say, okay, wait a minute. if people want freedom, we should support democracies. And then I go into this whole thing about, well, but wait a minute. The United States doesn't support, the democratic process. And, you know, we get into that whole exchange where he believes, those are mistakes made in the past, but they're being now corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not feel they're being corrected if we're torturing people.
Well, and we're protecting the freedom-loving Emir of Dubai.
Right.
Which is hardly
and doing business, I might add.
Hardly a democratic country. We're going to take a break and return with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Read it all on the web, RawStory.com. 5:17 now, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 20 after 5 now, and here's Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
Traffic is quite light for a Thursday afternoon, actually Wednesday afternoon, myself ahead of the day. But in Boulder Creek, River Drive at Crescent Drive, you'll find a broken down car partially blocking the roadway, but Highway 17 is checked and clear all afternoon long. Also, an earlier crash westbound 68 right near Olmsted Road has been cleared, but still an injury accident. Ormart Road at Del Monte Farms is a pickup truck and a motorcycle involved in a crash, and a medical helicopter has come and gone. Fly round trip to New Zealand for $798 and get a free flight to Australia. Taxes, fees, and restrictions up to $123 may apply. For details, visit airnewzealand.com now. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
521, I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we throw open the phone lines to hear from you. Any subject, any viewpoint, welcome. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast. That's 899-KRXA. Or call me toll-free from Eureka or elsewhere. 888-579-2540. We continue our weekly court-ordered visit with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. And, Larissa, during the break, I was reading through more of this interview with Michael Ledeen, and some of this is almost breathtaking. You take him on about U.S. support for democratic nations. You talk about Chile and Zaire, and then you go on, or closer to current events, the Saudi royal family, for example, is only in power because the U.S. protects them against their own citizens who are largely oppressed and exploited. Yet another example closer to home is Iraq. Saddam Hussein's dictatorship existed for this long because the United States supported that existence with funding, even providing the chemical weapons that were used against the Kurds. Well, he surprises us with this answer. You're quite right. And at least recently, both President Bush and Secretary Rice have explicitly agreed with your point to say that we have often supported tyrannies. We, along with the whole Western world, shamefully supported Saddam and convinced ourselves that he was a new kind of Arab leader. This is a remarkable statement from a White House insider. And let me just cite two more lines here. Can I say something about how I view human nature? I think it'll help at least part of this conversation. I have a pretty dim view of human nature, as I think any serious historian must. Most human activities aren't very pretty. Most of the time we screw up. It's rare when you find an exceptional person, and even in such cases they often fall from grace. And I'm not sure Machiavelli was wrong when he said man is more inclined to do evil than to do good.
Hence the title of the interview series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think, really, I think the more important statements made are on the second page, where we talk about the torture stuff and comparisons with Nazi Germany and things like that. I think that, for me, was really a very interesting exchange, because if you look at what he says, he really believes that Hitler came to power and the things that occurred happened because the German people wanted it.
Nice. That's really a beautiful thought. All right, Larissa, I will invite people to read the interview at rawstory.com. I wanted to move on now to the vote in the Senate. Only four senators voted against extension of the Patriot Act. Russ Feingold led an attempted filibuster, and he's a hero in my book.
Mine too.
And what we see is that despite all of the drama, there's very little change that has occurred to the critical parts about the libraries and the other portions of the act that were, in contention. There's been very little change since the extension, which occurred shortly after the New York Times revealed the NSA spying story in late December.
Right. I mean, we know, but more has come out about what's been added, and that is one of the more disturbing things is the militarization of the Secret Service.
I've read about that, yeah.
And that's incredibly disturbing. So, yeah, only four people thought it important enough to vote against it. And actually, Feingold attempted a filibuster, but it was voted down. And part of his filibuster, he began to read the Bill of Rights on the Senate floor.
Yeah.
Which I thought it was incredible. That, to me, is, you know, reminiscent of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, come on. That's the kind of seditious behavior that needs to be stamped out immediately.
Right, which is why we're militarizing the Secret Service. Exactly.
Yeah.
You are correct.
People need to read more of that about the Secret Service issue, because it is stunning. It essentially permits a personal police force for the president, and it's not just for executive protection.
Right. I mean, and it also gives them powers to declare basically police powers right then and there, to say, okay, no longer, you know, I declare you're a threat and therefore the Constitution doesn't apply to you. We don't need to read you your rights. We can arrest you. We can detain you. You don't need an attorney. Nothing.
Yeah. Now, Larissa, do you have anything new on the NSA spying story?
Yeah, actually, and some of this has come out in the last couple of weeks, and I've been working on it on my own also, but there is no, astonishingly, there is no NSA spying program. there's a collection of programs running simultaneously, and some of them, the one that the president speaks of does exist, where they're just tracking the international calls, and even that, they, you know, is warrantless, so that's disturbing in and of itself.
If Al-Qaeda is calling America, we want to know why.
Well, we don't have to know why. We can ask Dubai. We can just go over to Dubai. Or they'll be here. We can ask them directly. I think but the more disturbing ones that I've been now finding out about are the ones that are running jointly with DIA, that's the Defense Department Intelligence Arm, and NSA. In other words, the Department of Defense is doing domestic surveillance using NSA technology.
Is that, in your view, what Russell Tice was hinting about last week?
Yes. That's exactly what Russell Tice is talking about.
Okay. And the DIA...
now, remember, Russell Tice has... I've never seen James Risen, who broke the story, or Russell Tice ever acknowledge that Tice was Russell's source for anything. And they're talking about two very different programs. So, yeah, but what Tice is talking about, and he just... Well, I mean, he didn't describe it to me, but I got this from another source who also is familiar, is that it's, what was said to me is this, it is so invasive that it will blow your mind. I said, well, what could be more invasive than downloading your, the contents of your computer, downloading, or, you know, tracking your email, your phone calls, what could be more invasive than that? And then I started to think of all the possibilities, and it absolutely horrified me. And then I started looking at the companies that were absorbed into this program. There's only three that are pretty fairly, I would say they're the ones that are leading the technology thing here. And they're mostly biometrics companies. So I leave that to your own imagination.
And we'll have to leave it there because we're out of time. Larissa will talk with you next week. Thank you for your work and keep writing.
Thank you.
We'll check it out at rawstory.com. That's Larissa Alexandrovna, investigative reporter and managing editor. I'm Peter B. Collins. We head into the free speech zone next. Give me a call and we'll talk. 888-579-2540.
Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 533. We're into it. The free speed zone for the rest of our program, all the way till 6 o'clock tonight. And I want to invite some first-time callers. That's not to say regulars aren't welcome. I just always appreciate it when somebody new picks up the phone and calls this program for the first time. So if that's you and you've got your cell phone right there, punch in these numbers. If you're in Eureka or elsewhere, you know, not on the Central Coast, you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. Punch in those numbers and then press send. 888-579-2540. A local call on the Central Coast at 831-899-KRXA. That's 899-5792. We'll get right to your calls in a second. I just wanted to alert you to two issues that I would file under Bush Wrecking Crew. You may have heard me make that reference before. In almost every cabinet agency, the Bush administration has installed one or more individuals whose mission is to defy the purpose of that agency and dismantle regulations, policies, and programs that were hard-fought and developed over decades prior. Here are the latest. AmeriCorps, which is kind of like the domestic Peace Corps, was started by Bill Clinton and was scaled back almost from the get-go. And I happen to be fond of this because in one of my other jobs, I produce a radio show called Childhood Matters, and that's run by a nonprofit. And we had a great AmeriCorps a VISTA person, Shannon Braxton, who worked with us over the past year. And so just based on that exposure, I have to tell you that AmeriCorps is a great program. And the Bush administration is basically going to scale it back to the point that it will be killed. It was on the books for $27 million this year, and they're going to cut it to $5 million. Yes, billions for the oil industry. No, not even millions for a good domestic program like that. And even worse, the House was expected to vote tomorrow, but we understand the vote has been postponed and debate will continue. On a bill that would preempt all state food safety regulations that are more stringent than federal standards. And what that means is that, for example, in California, we have Proposition 65, which was passed by voters in 1986, and it requires that consumers be notified about contaminants known to cause cancer or birth defects. You've probably seen those little stickers on gasoline pumps and at certain business locations that require disclosure under various propositions, well, these would be trumped, would be ruled out of order or overruled by a federal law with standards that are far lower. Who would benefit? Well, how about the National Uniformity for Food Coalition, whose members include trade associations, supermarket chains, and food manufacturers? That term manufacturing doesn't belong next to food. In my book, I think of pasteurized, processed cheese food when they talk about food manufacturers. At any rate, I'd like you to watch this story carefully. California's Attorney General Bill Lockyer has spoken up about this. He said it's a total disgrace, accused Republicans of trying to be a rubber stamp for big business, who, while claiming they need uniformity, are trying to invalidate consumer, environmental, and public health laws. Just another end run by the wrecking crew. Please remain vigilant if you can. Josh in Salinas, thanks for holding on. You're back on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. Not too bad.
About an hour ago, you had a fascinating caller bring up the point that some things happening in American politics are similar to Mexico, some are similar to China. And that really rang a bell with me because I've been thinking for months that, hey, United States is turning into Mexico. As a gringo who speaks Spanish and goes to Mexico a lot, I've noticed some things that used to make me feel sad when I was in Mexico are actually, well, they're not Mexican things anymore. They're American things now.
Okay, give us a couple of examples, Josh.
I'll give you five at least.
Okay.
First one is that the real news is concealed.
Yeah.
The most important stories don't actually make it into the news media. And going along with that is the second thing is government pronouncements become headlines. Really common headline in Mexico is such and such problem will be solved by an infusion of such and such $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first line of the article is said officer so-and-so of the department of such and such.
Yeah.
And that's what we're getting. We're getting government claims instead of what's actually going on. Well, will this problem be solved? We'll see. We'll see about that.
Well, and as you're saying this, I'm thinking about the president and his alleged plan for victory and his repeated pronouncements of optimism, and that anybody who doesn't agree with him simply isn't optimistic. We're all just too negative.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that gets parlayed through the media. And we talked about this a few minutes ago with Larissa, and I mentioned it earlier when we played that sound clip from the pre-Katrina video conference that the president participated in.
Exactly.
And the reporter put these two sound bites back to back, which clearly showed that the president lied after Katrina when he said, I don't think anybody ever imagined that the levees would break.
Right.
And the reporter, I had to write it down because it was so bizarre to me. He said, that is a seemingly direct contradiction.
No, take out seemingly. Then it's true. It's a direct contradiction because the president lied, as you pointed out. You put it very clearly.
Okay, so go on. I don't want to distract you from your comparison to Mexico. What are a couple of other points that ring true to you?
Well, here with pronouncements being headlines, the guy ran and he spent as much breath saying he was going to be the education president as he was going to be the tax cut president. Only he then gave 1,000 times more money in tax cuts than he did to the education budget. Or now he's claiming that he's actually fighting our dependence on oil while cutting budgets for any possible research that would reduce our dependence on oil. But then, because the actual news is concealed, then anything becomes plausible. It used to really strike me as bizarre that I'd speak to intelligent, informed Mexicans, and I'd start talking to them about politics, and they'd say these weird things about their government. Anything was possible. UFOs, anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when the real news is concealed, there's no check. You can't say this is beyond them. So when you start saying, hey, it looks like shaped charges knocked down the World Trade Center, well, why not? Because you know we're not getting the real news. We do have to entertain that.
Well, and specific to the World Trade Center, I try to be as careful as I can because I don't like to fuel kind of freestanding conspiracy theories. But David Ray Griffin, the theologian who's written these two books about 9/11, one about the 9/11 Commission, one about what actually happened as compared to what we were told on 9/11. Mm-hmm. And he puts it this way. Well, look, we've been told official conspiracy theories. 9/11 was a conspiracy.
Right.
And it's a matter of how much of the official conspiracy theory you accept, how much of it can be verified through physical evidence and hard data, and how much of it is just fantasy, just fiction, because it cannot be reconciled with hard evidence and hard data. And so what we're talking about is fighting to get to the true conspiracy theory of 9/11 instead of the phony one, or at least partly phony, one that we have been sold.
Yeah, yeah. We're also looking at bogus elections. I was walking walking across a field in northern Mexico with a high-ranking institutional Revolutionary Party guy, and we saw this hound go trotting across this field, and it had the word fraud written on its flank in huge spray paint letters. That's how angry the people were that all their elections were being rigged. And you've covered this issue extensively. We don't have to go into it too much right now, but our elections are being rigged.
Well, Josh, despite whatever extensive coverage you've heard on our program, this remains a singularly important issue that gets very little play in the so-called mainstream media. And we still have not resolved these issues, as you heard from our report from Sacramento in the 4 o'clock hour from Dan Ashby of the Election Protection Network. They're going through the motions. And they held this public hearing where people can come up and state their objections, state what the problems are with these electronic voting machines. The comments are duly noted and filed, and the rubber stamp is produced, and we can expect that in short order, all of these electronic voting machines will be certified, despite the very clear vulnerabilities that they have.
I'm so disappointed in McPherson. I really thought he had more spine.
Yeah. I mean, he distinguished himself more in the state Senate, certainly, than he has as Secretary of State.
Far more.
Yeah. Josh, thanks for your call today. Great to talk with you, and I appreciate your input. I'm going to take a break and then return for more of your calls. Lines available for you right now. I'd like to hear from you, and I'm still waiting to hear from some first-time callers. 831-899-5792 is our number for the Central Coast. That's 831-899-5792. Or from Eureka, anywhere else you happen to be listening, use our toll-free line at 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. You got it? 5:44 now. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Do you care about labor issues?
Does it matter to you that we're losing thousands of jobs a year in this country to NAFTA and CAFTA?
Should all working men and women have health coverage?
Do you care about local labor struggles where workers are being exploited?
Do you want to unionize?
If you care, then join us. I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley.
Every Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m. for our new show,
Labor Matters, as we discuss these important issues.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time. It's 546, and here's Amy Knight.
Well, let's start with the good news. At Castroville, Omart at Del Monte Farms, earlier crash cleared, but Boulder Creek still has a problem. River Drive at Crescent Drive, a broken down car still on the roadway there. Traffic needs to still be a little stop and go as you come out of Carmel due to the traffic lights, but no major problems as you come out of Monterey heading into the Moss Landing area. Highway 101 looking good as you travel through Salinas, headed up toward Prunelle, and an earlier crash westbound 68 near Olmsted, completely gone now. Fly round trip to New Zealand for $798 and get a free flight to Australia. Taxes, fees, and restrictions up to $123 may apply. For details, visit airnewzealand.com now. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check you tomorrow. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me. The free speech light is flashing on the Central Coast. My number is 831-899-5792. You already know that. And my toll-free number for anywhere else is 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. And your calls are welcome. Any viewpoint on any subject. We had an interesting program today, and I always assume that many of you who are listening at this time have been working all day and probably didn't have a chance to listen in at 3 o'clock. But in our first hour today, we talked with investigative reporter Jason Leopold, and I want to recommend to you a visit to truthout.org next time you're surfing the web, because he has written a number of great stories, and the one today gives us further information, A, about the missing emails from the vice president's office. There's some 250 pages of email that prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald noted he couldn't find and that were not turned over to him by then White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez in October of 2003. And it's also interesting that, according to Jason Leopold, these emails are said to implicate Cheney in a months-long effort to discredit Joe Wilson, the ambassador, you know, a fact that Cheney did not disclose when he was interviewed by federal investigators. So this sets up a probable, in my view, possible, in Cheney's view, violation of the law in terms of his not telling the truth. Am I allowed to say lie? Lying to investigators. And if you want to see a case of somebody who got nailed in that kind of a situation, call Martha Stewart. Because after all, she was not popped for insider trading. She was popped for failing to be honest and forthcoming with the investigators who investigated her case. And Leopold writes, one email about Wilson and his wife is said to have been sent by Scooter Libby to an unknown senior individual at the National Security Council in early June 2003, after Libby had been told by Mark Grossman, then Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, that Wilson's wife worked for the CIA, and that Grossman's colleagues told him that Plame Wilson was involved in organizing Wilson's trip to Niger in February 2002. If this is true, then this sets up a couple of key issues. One is Scooter Libby had said, for public consumption, that he first learned about the identity of Joe Wilson's wife and her work at the CIA from news reporters. And in preparation for his defense, his attorneys have indicated that they plan to call a lot of news reporters, hoping to find a way to support that claim. But we now know that Grossman told Libby who Valerie Plame Wilson was and where she worked. And he's admitted that Dick Cheney told him who she was and where she worked. And as I mentioned with Jason Leopold, it's interesting to me that in the softball interview that Cheney set up with Brit Hume at Fox News after the shooting incident in Texas, that he added an item that we hadn't heard about before and acted like it was common knowledge. And that item is that Cheney asserted that in March of 2003, an executive order was issued permitting the vice president to unilaterally make changes in the status of material called classified. And those changes could either be to declassify or to further classify, make it more secret, certain information in his possession. Now, if Cheney is making that claim, consider the timeline. March of 2003, we now know, was the period when the White House Iraq group became aware of Joe Wilson, started to consider him a critic and an opponent, and started looking for ways to control him, to teach him a lesson, ultimately to smear him by exposing his wife's name and employment. And of course, we know that that is a legal issue because she was a covert operative at the CIA, and it's against the law to expose the identity of a covert operative. That's a law that was passed under the tenure of George Bush Sr. May have happened in the Reagan years, but it was a Reagan-Bush phenomenon. So what we're seeing is more dots that are connectable that show that Cheney now claims that he got the authorization to make changes in classified material in March of 2003 in the same time frame when they started to target Joe Wilson for retaliation. Then in May is when Libby says Cheney told him this information that had been classified. And now we see the Libby defense team saying that they believe that Libby was authorized to issue the leaks about Plame Wilson's identity and where she worked by Dick Cheney. And that his authorization was in turn covered by the executive order that he recently disclosed to the American public. Now, as I boil it down, and I will freely concede that I don't have enough information to convict anybody beyond a reasonable doubt, it sure looks to me like Dick Cheney was driving the bus. That he was not an innocent bystander regarding the smear efforts on Joe Wilson. And it remains to be seen whether Libby's defense in saying, well, Cheney told me I could do this, Cheney told me to do it, will that fly? Will he be able to create enough smoke to protect himself in the manner that he and his attorneys hope? So I recommend to you Jason Leopold's piece at truthout.org, and you can find out more and think for yourself, as we like to say here. Got a line available if you want to talk to me, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. We talked to some people earlier today about the prospect of a huge increase in the gasoline tax. And I do have mixed feelings about this because on the one hand, I do see that if we ratcheted up the cost of a gallon of gasoline and that money went to the federal treasury instead of to multinational oil companies, that there is a certain social engineering benefit, that it would create an incentive for people to get rid of their gas guzzlers and move into more fuel-efficient vehicles, or maybe even take public transit or walk instead of getting out the car for certain travel trips. There is another side to it, though, and that is that those who would be hurt the most by this are people who live on the edge, who drive 50 miles to a construction job in an old pickup truck. My eyes were really opened on this issue by a writer for The Nation named Sasha Abramski. And I believe it was in September or October of 2005 that he wrote a piece for The Nation. And he went up into the California Valley north of Sacramento. So he was up near Marysville, Yuba City, on up to Chico, near Redding. And he found many people who can barely afford to fill their tanks and who are driving SUVs and pickup trucks for good reasons, because they live in rural areas, and that the increases in gasoline prices at the pump have hit these people the hardest. I remember vividly one county worker who he profiled who was borrowing money using her mother's credit card to pay for her gasoline expenses to commute to work and back. And so she was paying a huge price for the privilege of working in a subsistence job. So I think it's something that looks good to people who have money in their wallets, but would be a real hardship on people who don't. Donna from Big Sur, you're on the air. Good afternoon. Welcome to the PBC show.
Well, hi, Peter B. Just want to let you know I appreciate so much the people you've had on this afternoon. I've been very informative. Really appreciate that. This little thing has just been bothering me for a couple weeks, and just wondering if anybody can check it out. It's kind of old news, but when the Cheney shooting happened,
right?
There was a little brief report, and I wish I would have listened to it better, but I didn't because I thought it would be on again. And there was this little report after the first news came out, and I can't remember what station it was on, but they said that Cheney's party of four people had broke off from the main party, which was Catherine Armstrong, Cheney, the man who got shot, and
the ambassador the ambassador to Switzerland.
Yeah, Liechtenstein.
Yes.
And we all know, you know, we all know that Liechtenstein is a very important place in the world. And suddenly she's like not a witness, and she's put on a plane, and she's out of the country. And I was amazed that nobody in the media followed up on that.
Well, the media has rolled up its satellite dishes and decided that that story is over. And I think there are open questions about what really happened that day, about why Cheney was so slow to call the authorities. And while, you know, some people think it might be meddling or, you know, trying to dive into somebody's trash, we don't know exactly how much Dick Cheney and the hunting party had to drink that day.
Right.
And he told us one beer. And we find that hard to believe. I got to run. The show's over. Thank you, Donna. We'll talk again soon. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Mulligano. The mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, says he's shocked. Officials really were warned what may happen to his city. And when it did, the response was so slow. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says the Associated Press has uncovered videos and transcripts of administration briefings before Hurricane Katrina hit, attending President Bush from his ranch and FEMA Director Michael Brown.
Brown worries about the so-called shelter of last resort, the Superdome.
As you may or may not know, the Superdome is about 12 feet below sea level, so I don't know what the heck. And I also concerned about that roof. I don't know whether that roof is designed to withstand a Cat 5 hurricane.
And Mayfield warns the levees may not hold.
I don't think anyone can tell you with any confidence right now whether the levees will be topped or not. But that's obviously a very, very grave concern.
The president participated in the briefings from his ranch in Crawford and appeared confident when he spoke to local officials.
The video captures President Bush promising those officials he'll be there for him.
I want to assure the folks at the state level that we are fully prepared to not only help you during the storm, but we will move in whatever resources and assets we have at our disposal after the storm to help you deal with the loss of property, and we pray for no loss of life, of course.
All of this seems to leave a bad taste in the mouth of New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin.
The realization that there was full awareness prior to the storm and that there was a promise to do whatever it took, and I did not see that executed.
The sun is just coming up over New Delhi at this hour. That's where President Bush is. The first pre-announced stop on a swing to the other side of the planet to improve relations with India and to get them to open up their nuclear weapons work. The first announced stop, but not the actual first stop. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller says that was Afghanistan.
Not since Dwight Eisenhower in 1959 had an American president set foot in Afghanistan until President Bush made his four-hour visit. It gave him a chance to assure President Hamid Karzai of America's unyielding commitment.
And so I come as a friend, an ally, and a person like you dedicated to peace.
The visit was planned in secret over